Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak library, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the Bengals Beat podcast, BBP 2, presented by 50 West Brewing Company. Leading a note for Bengals fans as they tune into this podcast, the Bengals are playing the Bears this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody has cared or asked a single question about the Bears this whole week.
No.
All the stuff that's been going on around here, I don't think anybody has asked a question in a press conference or in any interviews that I've done about the Bears.
No.
None.
Well, even Andy Dalton finished his press conference Wednesday like, aren't we playing the Bears?
Yeah. Nobody cares.
No.
Nobody cares. We're in a state of the franchise time now.
Yeah, the Bears don't even care about the Bears. That's part of it.
Right. It'd be different if this was Vikings week, I think. There'd be a little bit more attention paid to the opponent.
Well, guess what? There'll be one game under 500.
Yeah.
Going into a game against a good team. I mean, it's like the same stuff.
Except it's not as brutal because people are actually rooting for Zim.
Yeah.
Instead of the opposite.
Right.
Which we'll get to that next week. Now you know who they're playing next week. You probably still, in case you missed the first few seconds, wondering who are they playing on Sunday. Bengals home versus the Bears.
Yeah.
For any of you that actually show up at the stadium. This is going to be the newsy deuce.
Yes.
We've got a lot of news to get to.
A lot of nuggets pecked in there.
Newsy, not noisy.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, newsy.
We'll be noisy. But anyway, so there's a lot.
It's like corn niblets. Some corn push around the plate. Some peas.
There's no corn involved.
Some beans.
Yeah, some beans. Can we go forward? Why does it always got to be like this?
You need the proteins.
You need the proteins.
This is what the proteins are.
These are the
newsy
proteins.
Deuce.
And the newsy deuce.
Fill you up.
You're just pushing me now.
I am. I'm trying to make you hit stop.
All right, look. I'm not hitting stop. I'm powering through. It's what you got to do
which
sometimes.
Is important, yeah.
It's important. Look, there is a lot that happened over the last couple of days to get to. So we are going to have the news and takes on all of this. I don't know how hot the takes will be, but they will be. Well, we're going to give you what's going on. Here's some of the stuff we're going to run through. John Ross is on IR. How about that?
Yeah.
How you gonna go get hurt on your day off?
Right.
I got that was my favorite tweet.
Yeah, right.
George Iloka was suspended and then not suspended in the middle of a huge controversy of everyone saying that he should have been and him saying, why are we doing playing flag football? And a lot going on there. Sashi Brown was fired in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Hugh's going to be back, so Hugh's not going to be coming back here. But there's ripple effects happening up there that affect the Bengals. There are injury. Everyone's hurt.
Yeah.
Everyone's hurt. And so we're going to get into that, including a certain all-pro defensive player who showed up on the injury report on Thursday. I want to talk to you about your huge story that you have coming this weekend that I'm super pumped about. Your story on Tim Krumrie and what he's battling these days, which is just it's an unbelievable story. Really excited to hear more about that. Optimistic Bobby will be here. He's going to mention the Super Bowl, which is great.
It's going to happen February 5th in Minneapolis.
Yeah, well, it is going to happen. It is going to happen. So we'll have Optimistic Bobby there. We will offer our predictions. Again, the Bengals are playing the Bears this weekend, so we'll offer our predictions on that game. Then we'll have a hot seat from BTS with AJ McCarron. AJ McCarron, who was really good on BTS this week.
Yeah.
It was a nice timing to have somebody with a lot to talk about that wasn't game related.
Right.
And his situation, he was like he always is, very open about his future in the off season and what he sees happening on this team and around the league and things like that. So anyway, we'll get to all that. Let's run through it. John Ross is on IR.
Yeah.
I mean, you almost can't make it up at this point.
No.
You just can't even, you couldn't even write this story.
No.
So the guy who's been healthy scratch, who's been thrown under the bus by his coach, who's just been nothing but practice, all of a sudden shows up with an injury to the other shoulder.
Right.
And is instantly thrown on IR.
Yeah.
Literally hours after his coach said, John Ross going to suit up this week.
Yeah, right.
He's going to get his chance. And then he was on IR 4 hours later.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's shocking. And I think, you know, it's one of those things where, I mean, Marvin Lewis ends up coming out on Thursday to say, you know, he was concealing an injury. Yeah, I guess. Like, the shoulder was bothering him, from what we can tell. But he was practicing better. AJ McCarron said that.
Yeah.
I mean, John Ross was Antonio Brown during Steelers week. Like, he had been practicing better. Which is maybe why Marvin thought, well, there's going to be so many guys hurt anyway Sunday, but maybe that's why Marvin thought he could at least dress. But clearly decided to get an MRI Wednesday morning, comes back, and they just are like, well, you could play through it, and then maybe Marvin says he ain't going to play.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
you know what I mean? It might have been one of those
situations. It sounded like it was a thing where he went and the thought was that he should have the surgery from his camp, that he should have the surgery and find that fresh start
right.
for next year at OTAs.
Yeah.
Don't let this year roll into next year.
Right.
Which is unfortunate because he was concealing this. He wanted to play.
Right, which he guys do all the time.
All the time. Whether to play because they want to prove something or because they want incentives
right.
or for whatever reason, guys power through things and don't talk about things.
Right.
I mean, how often do we talk about people not revealing concussions?
Right.
I mean, they do this stuff for a reason because they want to play. And John Ross wanted to, he's sick of hearing all the stuff.
Right.
And wanted to go play and prove himself, but then as it got worse, and Marvin Lewis says he's having trouble sleeping was a big part of it because he couldn't sleep on it. And so they got a look at it, and when they looked at it, they saw the depreciation happening and the need to get it fixed. So he's put on IR. Let me bring in Marvin Lewis. We've got about 5 minutes here with Marvin talking about his view of this whole John Ross situation, from the injury to going forward to the problems that happened this year, and helping to reveal a little bit, I think, where that whole thing is at. So here's Marvin with reporters on Thursday addressing John Ross being put on IR in his season.
What do you make of that whole thing? I mean,
well, I think he's had this, and he's dealt with it. Let's move on.
Oh, yeah, sure.
In his mind, he's been dealing with it, and it's. He felt not getting better, but making it harder to sleep, and so he wanted to get looked at again and have the scans compared. And so they looked at the scans, and yeah, he's had this condition, which we've had a couple guys that they have the shoulder on one side, and generally it's parallel on the other. Mm-hmm. And I think earlier, the physician in Washington kind of mentioned that to him. And so then your symptoms seem to escalate a little bit, you know, as you go. So anyway. win.
So did he go get an MRI after you spoke to us?
Yeah.
Okay, and so then literally, I guess that all happened very quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, did you have an inkling in practice just watching him that something was bothering?
Well, he said, I don't know if you guys probably went out there. The last couple of weeks ago when it was raining, we were practicing on the grass, and he said he went to, when he extended for a deep pass, he ended up dropping. He said he felt hindered on that side a little bit. You know, he pointed to that to me when he talked to me, came to my office, told me, he said, you know, yeah. He said, I said, well, when's it been, how long? He says, well, it's just been bothering me. He says, you know, I can't, now it's getting to the point where I can't sleep, so.
So he never really indicated that before?
No, he never indicated that, he had said something in the training room because they had got him into a kind of a brace, but he didn't like wearing that, so.
So he kept it from you. How do you keep it from you? How do you keep it from you?
Guys have things all the time that, so, you know, they don't want to hear my aches and pains either.
Do you think that's just kind of thing where he just wanted?
He wanted to play.
That was kind of the biggest thing.
He wanted to keep going, and then, yeah. You know, he just felt like he wasn't. As he said, he was having a hard time sleeping, and you know, I think he said that the players kept telling him, "You gotta say something and see what's going on."
So. In a way, I mean. He really never got a chance to get hit the ground running because of all the injury stuff. Is this a way to maybe clean all this up?
Well, that's the underlying thing, I think, that, you know, his people told him and underneath is, okay, now you get a chance to be healthy and ready to go whenever the off season starts in 2018. So it's for him. He gets a fresh start. And so I think that was part of, you know, him saying, you know, hey, can we do this now, you know, or whenever.
Do you feel like this year John's had the right attitude in going about things? I know he hasn't gotten the snaps.
Yeah,
but
he has.
Has he handled things well?
I think he's handled them. It's hard. As I said to you guys in there, how many times the pressure, you know, you guys ask me every day, the John Ross watch, I mean, and I don't, to me it doesn't, I wonder why, but then you realize he was the number one draft pick. And I understand that. So, and I think with that comes the pressure, which is part of when these guys come here, and you talk to them in before the draft, or you know, these are the pressures that come with being a number one draft pick. You know, you are always held to that standard from the time you step into the NFL. You know, because the fans, the media, everybody always wants that. You know, your teammates. You know, they always want to see you. That's why what he's been doing on the practice field the last couple of weeks has been great, because his teammates saw, you know, everything we saw, which is great.
So there's Marvin, and you know, at this point, what can you say? I mean, this is now the fourth consecutive season that they've gotten zilch out of a first round pick as a rookie. Darquez Denard played 14 games and about 62 snaps. Cedric Oboye, he played 5 games. He missed most of the season, still recovering from his knee injury, and played like 60-some snaps. But those were mostly all in one game at the end, and like he was in jumbo packages like as an extra tight end and stuff. William Jackson misses his entire first year with his pectoral injury last year, and he's come out. And, you know, Darquez has played really well. Darquez Denard and William Jackson look like the linchpins of the future on the defense. Everybody knows how Cedric Oboye, but he played.
Yeah.
He had plenty of opportunity. You know, it's just there's a lot of slow starters that, whether by design or by circumstance, that have happened around here. And, you know, I think the thought is it doesn't mean you're ruling him out. Does he have an injury history? Yeah. Are you worried about him being injury prone? Sure. Of course you are.
Yeah.
He's a small, slight guy who's had a bunch of different types of things. But to me, the bust word and the ruling out of a guy who's never even had a chance really to play, you know, William Jackson talked about, people were calling me, all kinds of people calling me a bust last year because I had an injury.
Right.
Now all those same people are loving me.
Yeah.
It happens.
Right.
Eventually he's going to have a chance to play and prove himself.
Yeah, no, and I think that's about right. I 17 snaps, 2 targets. Now, granted, there's a turnover and a bad route, you know, in those 17 snaps, but you cannot make a judgment
on 17 snaps.
No.
You know, eventually, what did we say when he was drafted? His success here will be defined by his health.
Right.
If he stays healthy, I think everyone knew if he stayed healthy, he would. I mean, his tape shows you.
Right, and that's why he'll be a great player. Bengals fans are mad because they say, "See, we told you he wouldn't be healthy, though."
Yeah,
we told you. Well, you know, it's a different part of the body. It's not the now. Granted, the knee injury, whatever that was, in the you know in the preseason, that's fair. I mean, his knees had been worked on, but as far as we know, that kind of went away after a while. So
yeah,
you know, sub out Tyler Eifert for John Ross.
Yeah, it's just the new.
Do you want those in training camp? Direct all John Ross health questions.
I mean,
to Paul
at this
Dana?
Point, I assume that's what's going to happen. So I'm not going to fight
it. Well, you put
it.
Tyler Eifert on me when I walked in the door in 15. So, and I've never let you forget it.
I know.
So I'm just wanting to know what.
I know what's happened. I don't need to go through it again. let's move on. So, because we'll be here all day trying to go through this news. George Iloka suspended. So the point that when we recorded the BBP, it had not been out yet. We hadn't really considered him as being suspended. I mean, the hit was you mentioned they thought he'd get a pretty good fine, but I think that was about what we thought it would be. I mean,
right.
For it to be a suspension, I think was kind of shocking. And so it comes to him and Juju Schuster, they both get the one game suspension.
Yeah,
Iloka's gets reversed or kicked down to a fine. That just doesn't happen.
No.
Like, it doesn't, and that was my argument. You know, people were talking about, you think he's going to get knocked down. I said, it doesn't happen hardly ever. Do you see one game to a fine? Right. You see 2-1, 3-2, yada, yada. You don't see it go down to a fine, but yet that is what happened here. And George felt like he had a really a good case. It's turned into a pretty controversial thing nationally as the state of the game is discussed off that Bengals Monday night game. But he had a lot to say about it.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, he was just pleasantly surprised it was reduced as well. And then he's offseason workout partners with Mike Mitchell, which has been known. We've written about that. And Mike Mitchell came to his defense and his Schuster's defense on Wednesday talking about you can't legislate football plays. And so George Iloka talked about all that as well. Good stuff out of George.
Yeah, good stuff from George. Let's hear it.
I think they made the right decision. I mean, but just going by the odds, and they don't really overturn much, even when there's no means for it in the first place. A lot of people have lost their appeal, so I think they made the right decision. That wasn't, if you're asking me, should I have got suspended? I don't think so, but confident. I wouldn't say I was confident because they don't usually overturn stuff.
Was that an example, though, of when independent arbitrators are at least hear something? Because I understand it's all part of the CBA, but I mean, at least there was that sort of review in this process.
They have to review it. Anytime you suspend it, I think the rule is you can appeal to anybody. Yeah. So, yeah, they have to at least hear you. Don't have to listen, but they at least have to hear you out.
How quickly before practice did you find out? Because you're not allowed to be here while you're suspended.
I wasn't here.
I know. That's, I mean, how soon did you have to get here to get to practice?
As soon as y'all find out, I kind of find out. That actually says y'all, I mean, whoever got these sources, they got a good connect, because, like, as soon as I found out, I mean, I found out after he kind of hit his man. Really, he's just like, as soon as the announcement was made, they kind of know before you, which is whatever, it's a sign. But, yeah, so whenever y'all find out, that's when I found out. And I just came up here and got ready for practice.
Were you, like, circling the stadium, just waiting to pull in?
No, allowed to be here while the suspension was being reviewed.
Okay.
So. Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
I think so.
I guess I missed a couple meetings.
I was going to say, you can sleep in?
No, I woke up same time, did my whole routine, and just in case, I'm on my bill, so. Unfortunately.
Was that shocking that you got suspended in the first place? When you heard that news,
I was very surprised. After the game, I talked to the agent. I was like, I said they might find me. That would be somewhat reasonable, even if it's actually against me. I said they might find me, but I didn't go to sleep in like a suspension. It was just, it wouldn't make sense. So, when I woke up in the morning, I had like 3 missed calls, and they said they're talking about suspending you, kind of threw us off, but I'm glad they ended up doing the right thing. I just personally think, just like Mike said, if you start suspending guys for that, the league is going to turn into a brand of football in which, if you're worried about losing viewers, you will lose a lot more. You're going to start having more plays in which really did on the sideline because you're so scared of getting the flag. And that, to me, I would turn off football if you see more plays like that. You know, he told you legit, like, I was scared of getting a personal foul. You know, and yeah, fines, understandable. Repeat offenders, understandable. Plays away from the ball, like off-ball incidents, post-whistle kind of things. Okay, all right, I think those might warrant suspensions if deemed reasonable. But on-ball kind of plays, which are football plays, to suspend for that, it's going to set a bad precedent to where guys are just going to pull up and just, you know, give away things. And I'm not a betting man, but I can guarantee you next is going to be Vegas complaining, talking about, man, they're throwing these games and things like that. But, you know, it would be, I mean, they made the right decision. Was it targeting? I've heard a couple people say it's retaliation. No, not the case. It's just 3 minutes and some change left. They're going for a tie. He throws the ball into a tight window and you're trying to make a play, whether it be a random team like the Detroit Lions, the Steelers, the Browns, anybody. Just take away my name from the situation. Take away the receiver. Take away the team's names. That's what you want each player to do in that situation. You expect the quarterback to throw in the tight window. You expect the receiver to still go up for the catch. And you expect the safety to try to jar the ball free, period. Just take away the names. It's not that deep. It's a football play. Just like Juju's was a football play, just obviously, Dave said, and a lot of us said, no one agrees with him standing over someone that's hurt. But, you know, football plays are football plays, and this game is violent. We know that. So, yeah.
You mentioned Mike Mitchell. He had a lot to say about yesterday, but he also defended you. Yeah. Did you guys talk at all? He was supporting you on Twitter.
Yeah, we trained together in the off season.
Did he talk to you or reach out after you got suspended?
Yeah, after. But we talk here and there in season, so it's not like just because I got suspended. We chop it up every now and then. So he obviously understands the position in which we're in, week in and week out. So it's just. You know, whether he's defending me, it's just like, I think he's just speaking for the future of the game. It's like, I'm going to be in that position 5 more times this next game, and the game after that, that's the position we're in, and safety balls, or quarterbacks are going to throw into tight windows, and you're getting in that situation a lot. So he kind of feels for like, what am I supposed to do? You know, like, just, I'm asking you guys. Y'all watch football. I mean, none of y'all are coaches, you're reporters, or journalists, or whatnot, but what would you want your safety on your team to do? Just concede it's a touchdown, you want your corner to concede it's a he's out of bounds on the sideline. If that's what you want, okay. And then when someone tells me that, cool, but that's not how anybody should want the game to be. Not a fan, not a coach, and not a player, period. So I think that's what he sees. He's like, man, if you're spending out football plays, what are we doing then? We're not playing football anymore. It's just flag. And if you want flag, you know, go to your local college and Mirror League, you know, not what we're doing here. So yeah.
But you can't change the way you hit. I mean, you have to.
No, I mean, we made a conscious effort. We've changed the way we've hit. I mean, like I said, they've been finding guys, and the league is doing a better job, you know, emphasizing unnecessary roughness. Like I said, away from ball incidents, certain things have just kind of like emphasized. But on ball kind of plays, you'll never be able to eliminate unless you change the game to something else, which is no longer contact football, which is flag football. You can never take that out of the game. You can never take the natural reaction of what football is. It's another man running in one direction and another man running towards his direction to try to bring him down and him trying to keep running. It will be physical. There's no way you can softly bring a guy down. That's like me going to an MMA battle and saying, oh, I'm cool with them punching each other, but I don't like the blood. Oh, the blood is a result of them punching each other. Big hits are a result of two men, grown adults, running at each other. There will be big hits here and there. You put in the rules and certain things and fines like that to try to limit egregious kind of things and things that could be avoidable, but some things are unavoidable. And you don't want to go down that path, or it's going to be a different sport altogether. And to all the people complaining that, oh, this is too, they'll turn it off, and the people that are traditional fans, they'll definitely turn it off. So I'm just glad they made the right decision. I'm glad AB is fine. Everybody that got hurt in the game, I hope they end up being okay. Shazier, Montez, Joe. The game we play, and we understand that. And I was just hoping no one ever gets hurt, but no, I'm glad they made the right decision in my case.
Yeah, so there's all that from George. What do you make of some of the things that he's saying? I mean, is this, to me, and we talked about this a little bit on Monday, it's just like these guys want to play a physical type of game. Yeah. That's what they grew up with, and that's why they signed up to play here.
Right.
They don't like the idea of it becoming some sort of soft flag football type right. of thing. They understand the detractions. They understand the risks, but they like it this way. They feel like it's part right. of their livelihood.
Which is, you know, we'll get into this a little bit later when we talk about Tim Crumry. I agree with Mike Mitchell and George Iloka. This is the game. You know, I mean, George went so far as to say he thought Smith-Schuster's block on Tez was fine.
Mm-hmm.
He agrees with Steelers fans that it was a clean block.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't like the taunting after the fact. And he said that right away on Sunday.
Yeah.
Or Monday night, excuse me. So, you know, he's right. I keep going back to this example of the Buffalo game where Lorenzo Alexander hit A.J. Green in the head down after that long catch and A.J. fumbled.
Mm-hmm.
There's no flag. There's no fine. Because it was a football play. He hit him with the shoulder, but then he hit him in the head. And George tried, it was funny because George like tried to mock up like to the reporters, like, if I'm here to hear, if I try to hit you in your sternum, well, a helmet's big. My helmet's big. His helmet's big. Our heads are going to hit. And he's like, that's just what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the league knows that. I mean, there are rules in there that says, like, some forms of helmet to helmet are unavoidable and okay.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of it. And I, you know, so, A, I agree with him. And, yes, this is the new era of the NFL in that these guys all know what they signed up for. Even Andy Dalton said it a couple times. It's football.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want Ryan Shazier to get paralyzed. You don't want, you know, guys to get knocked stone cold out. So George said, he's like, it's good we're getting rid of some of that stuff, like the spearing, the leading with the head. But, you know, if you're going to use your shoulder, you use it in your head too. I mean, right. like it's all like right there.
The head is connected to the shoulders.
Right.
That's a fact.
Unless they're going to start drop kicking dudes. Like that's how you tackle.
Yeah, like Antonio Brown on the punter for Cleveland.
Yeah, just boot just a dude go in. Just boot a dude right in the chest with your cleats.
I mean,
slide tackle soccer, and then you roll around and cry for.
I say, in my opinion, the NFL needs to either go all in with their safety thing and turn this into a super soft league, just like the college game gets, where everyone's scoring 50 and 60 points because people are afraid to really play and play, or just own who you are.
Right. And I think you can do that. I think it's in there. I think it's just the problem is the league is so attuned to quote unquote national outrage.
Oh, they're,
you know
they're,
what I mean?
They are the most reactionary major business I have ever seen.
So they are oddly sensitive, you know, super reactionary. Look, it's good to be nimble. You know, I think the NBA is pretty nimble, but you know, they're not doing crazy things.
Public outcry does not determine how they do discipline.
Right.
That was what happened here.
Yeah.
It was people are talking about how bad and violent. We need to show that we don't agree with it, and we need to do it on both sides. So let's fire off on Juju, and let's fire off on George Iloka, and because people are losing their minds about how bad this game was.
Right.
Well, you can't be like that. Well, you have rules for a reason.
Right.
Of course, there are no rules when it comes to discipline. So you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
The willy-nilly nature, I wrote about it in Walkthrough on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I mean, has there ever been a team that's had a single season that has more displayed how stupid and ridiculous the punishment system is?
Right?
Go back to Adam Jones.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, start January 1.
Let's start
17.
January 1. How does that last through the entire offseason?
Right.
There's no way it took you that long to get through an entire investigation. Then it started rolling into the season.
Right.
I mean, that's absurd, first of all. Second of all, Vontaze Burfict with a hit during a preseason game where we're debating intent.
Right.
football play? Was it dirty? We don't, you know, right. Should he have done it? There's arguments on both sides. 5 games!
Yeah.
Then knocked down to 3. Like, any of that makes any sense.
Right.
5 games?
Right.
Repeat like, any of that makes any sense. Yeah. And then you get into A.J. Green, who might have done the most egregious thing of everybody we're about to
yeah,
talk
right?
about. And he doesn't get suspended at all.
Right.
And then a couple weeks later, Michael Crabtree is fighting, and he gets 2 games.
Right.
And Jack Del Rio's like, wait, look at that guy. I thought we could fight. I thought then that we could fight. And then you get this, where it just comes as a complete public relations reactionary thing on both sides. And then it gets knocked down.
Yeah.
Because no one knows, and no one has any precedent. Or if there is precedent, they're refusing to follow it for anything.
Right.
It's been the stupidest season.
Yeah.
Just all you need to know, 101, NFL discipline 101, there are no rules.
Right.
See 2017 Cincinnati Bengals.
Right.
Ridiculous. All right. I'm off the soapbox. Hey, let's talk about Sashi.
Yeah.
So Sashi goes down. There is no rift.
No.
There was no rift.
Nope.
No, couldn't have been a rift.
No power struggle.
No power struggle at all. No, why would there be a power struggle? Because one dude just got fired.
Yeah.
So Sashi ends up, so Hugh wins.
Yeah.
Hugh's like the Rocky statue now. He's got his arms up on top of the mountain, on top of the pit of misery.
Yeah.
Or the factory of sadness, whichever one you're using right now.
It's a hell of a pile to be standing on.
Yeah.
Victorious.
Yeah. It smells. There's some corn niblets in there. So the fallout, the ripple to the Bengals is this. There was thought, well, if Hugh loses,
right.
If he ends up free, this could be a spot for him. Yeah. If they were to move on, if part ways with Marvin and a spot was open, this certainly would have been, I think that they would have been very open to Hugh here as a head coach.
And still blows my mind. Yeah.
Or potentially as an offensive coordinator for Marvin if he were back or whatever.
Right.
That's not going to happen. I mean, Hugh is going to be retained by the Browns, and he's going to be back there.
So says the owner.
So says the owner.
Which it was fascinating to watch this happen in real time because you had some segments of media saying, wow, Sashi's drafts really weren't that bad. Look at all this talent. That blah, blah, blah. And then it was, well, if Hugh doesn't win, then he still might get fired because how do you bring a guy back after 0-16? It was fascinating to watch this weird cycle of like the media factions of who's whispering to who, you know, and what message wants to get out. It was really, I mean, thank God it wasn't here.
Yeah, I love
we'll have to deal with that.
I love the Hugh Jackson talking about this place has been too leaky for a long time and all that stuff. You pretty much have your own national beat writer that is employed by the NFL.
Yeah.
And everyone knows it.
Right.
But, you know, leaky ship.
Yeah.
Something else. So the GM spot is open. John Dorsey has been floated out there, the old Kansas City guy, as a candidate. And there have been other names floated out there.
Yeah.
That came out of Cleveland. Tony Grossi says, keep an eye on Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
I'm going conspiracy theory. I have not talked to Marvin about this. This is conspiracy theory. I'm just going conspiracy theory. I want to make sure that's clear. It's the one team in the division he has not coached yet.
Yeah.
If you were deciding that you wanted to be a GM, and we don't even know if Marvin ever has interest in such things. He might just want to be a coach. I'm a coach guy. What would be the biggest thing? A, having a quarterback. B, having a good relationship with your coach. We know he'd have a great relationship with his coach. He's like his best friend.
Yeah.
We know he'll have a quarterback that he gets to draft, just like he did Carson Palmer, number one overall, because they're going to have number one pick in a high-end QB draft.
Yeah.
Boom. Solve that. He's talked often about how they have a good young core up there that are playing hard for Hugh.
Yeah.
You're about to have a gazillion picks.
Yeah.
A lot of those that are going to their third and fourth year. Let's just say the timing is interesting.
Yeah.
Bengals essentially have their season ended by the Steelers. 2 days later, Sashi goes.
Right.
Is that a call made to Hugh?
Right.
Hey, I think I'm ready to do it. I think this is it here.
Yeah.
You can tell him to pull the trigger.
Well, I mean, if Hugh had decided to stay, we would be talking to Hugh Jackson, Bengals offensive coordinator, about his plans for
taking over
the Bengals in 2019 and 2018 and what he was going to do. So, I mean, that was the two had that idea. So until, you know, a decision is made with Marvin and Mike Brown here, or if a decision is made elsewhere and they decide to part ways, you know, that's going to be out there now.
It is going to be out there. Anything with Hugh is going to be out there with Marvin because of their relationship and because how open right. they've been about loving working together and wanting to work together and all those things.
Yeah.
That's where all that comes from. Again, this is more speculation than anything. But, I mean, you can put those pieces together. I mean, those are tea leaves that are all out there. So, add that to the things to watch over the next month.
Yeah. I think some messages will be sent over some steak.
Possibly. Could there be a salad?
Yeah.
There could possibly be a salad. Yeah. What kind of lettuce do you think will be in there?
Romaine?
Yeah. I don't know.
Arugula cheese.
It feels like an arugula salad to me. Yeah. All right. People have no idea what we're talking about. You were just victims of like 8 inside jokes, unfortunately.
That's what we do on the BBP.
That's what we do.
Bring you inside.
Well, but we didn't, though. They don't know the joke. We're just saying it.
Hey, if they're smart listeners,
yeah,
they can put it together.
They can put it together.
I trust you.
You can put it together. You're smart. Let's move on. Everyone's injured.
Yeah.
Everyone. Everyone, pretty much.
So really, that's the only real storyline for this Bears game. Initially, it was all of the secondary being hurt. Sean Williams still out with a hamstring, which must be really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Kirkpatrick, a concussion. Adam Jones, a groin. Darquez Denard, a knee. So who's even back there? Brandon Wilson with an ankle. Forgot about him.
Yeah.
We knew Vontaze Burfict dealing with a concussion. Joe Mixon, a concussion. And then, oh boy, Geno Atkins gets hurt in practice.
Yeah, shows up with a toe. Shows up limping through the parking lot to to a van.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on there.
So I can't see a guy like that injuring a toe, which we talked about with William Jackson way earlier in the year. There's no way to me he plays. I'm like, I'll say it right now. Yeah. I mean, it's a meaningless game. They could beat him without him. And, I mean.
Toes linger.
He's 300 pounds. Like, his whole game. I mean, everyone's game, every athlete's game is from the ground up.
Toe-based.
Yeah.
He's got a toe-based game.
You know, maybe it's precautionary. We'll see. But I you know.
Yeah.
We're in that part of the year where it's business decision time.
Yeah, maybe. But his business is getting sacks.
Yeah.
Too. And Pro Bowls.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway. So we've got who. So what? Here's what your secondary is probably going to look. I don't know if Darquez Denard is going to play. I thought he would, but he hasn't practiced the last 2 days.
No,
of course, these have been lighter. But, you know. I just think he's going to end up questionable probably. William Jackson on one side, Kavari Russell will be a major part of the deal. Josh Shaw will be inside as nickel moving from that safety spot. But safety's still thin too. They're really lucky that George ended up not being suspended because they'd have been really
huge
thin.
Deal.
So they will have Iloka and Fedge back there. And who knows if they'll have Brandon Wilson with this ankle.
Right,
thing.
Josh Shaw
was on the practice squad a couple weeks ago.
Right. Josh Shaw basically said you may see him at all three spots, outside corner. It sounded like, when I talked to Kevin Coyle, like if Quez can't go, the outside is going to be Josh Shaw, William Jackson III. Your safeties are Fedulum, Iloka. Now, when they go to nickel, that's a good question.
I would assume Shaw goes inside and Kavari comes
Russell
in the outside.
So, and then you might also see Shaw in safety. He said he repped at all three spots because, like, they've been going in some nickel packages, subbing out Iloka or Fedge, depending who it is, and doing, like, a single high look. But that's usually been Josh Shaw.
Yeah.
So it'll be – I mean, the Bears are bad.
They're going to be playing a lot of base.
I think we're going to see a lot of base, especially with Vinny Ray's back, the one guy who's, like, back for them. I think we will see a lot of base because the Bears can't throw. They can't catch. And
you stop the run and you'll win.
Yeah.
So they'll be in a lot of 4-3. So, you know, you'll see. Well, that's banged up as well because there's no Burfict. So you'll have Vinny.
Right.
You'll have Kevin Minter.
And Jordan Evans.
Jordan Evans.
Yeah.
I mean, that's banged up too.
Right.
You know, you're missing your two top linebackers. Right. But, hey, luckily, it's Trubisky and the Bears.
Yeah.
So that's where the injuries are. Let's talk about your story for this weekend.
Yeah.
So when you were out in Denver, you went and spent some time with Tim Krumrie, who lives out there. Tim Krumrie, who was he was
number three
overall on your Bengals 50. Of course, everybody remembers him, an absolute beast and a key to that team. went to the Super Bowl, and then obviously the vicious leg injury, but a beloved player, but he's going through a lot now, and I don't know if people realize it.
Yeah, I mean, so there's the physical part, the physical toll of a guy who played in the 80s into the 90s, double knee replacement a couple years ago, and as no one would be surprised, he coached 9 weeks later.
Yeah.
He was like, you don't tell me. I'm going to coach this East-West Shrine game. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, it's not because it's him.
Yeah, right.
So there's the physical stuff. But he's dealing with the effects of brain trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those subconcussive hits endured at playing D-line for 16 years, if you count 4 years of college. And, you know, bad dreams, weight gain, lack of motivation, all the thing, lack of balance, all the things we've read and heard about from guys in that era and what happens. You know, it's interesting, Paul, because he says, I've never had a concussion. Because back then, you were only concussed if you were knocked out.
Yeah.
So he's like, so to him, he's never had a concussion, but he's like, oh, yeah, I've seen stars, my bell rung, whatever. So what's interesting, though, Paul, what makes him different, and maybe not if people know Tim Kremer, is he's like, yeah, I got this. But, I'd do it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't regret any of it. And it's okay because this is my life, and I'm going to do things to live the best life I can now.
Yeah. He's approaching it like he would approach a game.
Right.
Like, I'm finding a way to win this.
Right.
And make it the best in the best way that I can with this set of circumstances. And he's kind of – he's – loving talking about, he wants to talk about what he's doing to think it can help people, right?
Right, yeah. So his main thing, Paul, was he went and got it's called a SPECT scan, and it measures the blood flow in the brain. Does not measure CTE. But blood flow is important. I mean, the theory behind blood flow is like if your brain has blood flow, it's working.
Mm-hmm.
So this scan showed some spots, no dead spots, but concerning spots, lack of blood flow. That led to some of these issues. So this scan, his MRI, the NFL gave him, says it was normal. His brain is not normal.
Mm.
So this scan, and then this allowed him to then find treatments that work for him. He uses an infrared kind of thing that stimulate blood flow. Honestly, it's FDA approved as something you and I could get, or you could put on your back, your legs. I mean, it's just a blood flow stimulator.
Mm-hmm.
It's working for him. He has a before and after scan. Some of that blood flow has come back. He's remembered things. He sleeps better. He changed his diet. He doesn't drink alcohol. He doesn't drink Diet Coke. He lost 60 pounds in 100 days. Mm-hmm. And that's his thing. You're right, Paul, because he's like, he sees teammates, friends, dealing with the effects of brain trauma.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. He decided that's not good enough. That's not helping yourself or your family or, you know, whatever. So he wants his message out to those guys to say, I get it. We understand. Help yourself. It's interesting. It's a different message than we've heard. You know, and a lot of these stories the last few years are scary, and they're scary for a reason. But going back to George Iloka said, I mean, these guys wouldn't change it. So Tim's saying, if you can't change your past, change your future.
Yeah.
In a way. He's not cured, but he's better and trying to help himself be better.
And for a lot of these guys that sustain and deal with CTE or just concussions or whatever, that's what it's going to be about,
because right,
there's no fixing that.
Right.
It's going to be about finding the best ways to deal and live your best life
right,
with it and deal. And I think that's, to me, the most interesting element of the story is how he's taking that on. And this is just... People don't realize, like, because these guys disappear off the face of the earth to
right,
fans once they're done playing, and they just become this thing of the past. And it's been kind of cool seeing all these guys come back this year,
right,
and you get they all have different stories
right,
about stuff like this, and this is the most amazing one of them all, and did a great job telling it, great visuals, video, and photos from Kareem Elgazar, who's yeah, out there with you. So if you get a chance to check it out, it's going to be 1A on Sunday's paper, also up online, of course, probably already if you're listening to this podcast right now. Give that a read. Watch the video. Really, really, really great stuff on Tim Crumry on sort of a different aspect of a huge topic that dominates the NFL. All right, it is time for Optimistic Bobby. He's got some optimistic takes. So let's bring in 50 West owner Bobby Slattery.
All right, it is that time again, and a downtrodden Bengals fan base has never needed it more. Let's go to 50 West owner Bobby Slattery. Bobby, how are we doing?
Hooray! I'm still here. I'm holding on.
There was a twinge of sadness in that hooray. Like, there was a little bit. But you know what? I like that you're still here holding on.
I changed seats, Paul.
What's that?
I changed seats. I watched the first half from one seat inside the stadium, and I changed my seats for the second half.
Why did you
only
blame
myself? You want me to be completely honest with you? This is really terrible, and no one's here is going to like this. But so we're with a distributor now. We used to self-distribute, and distributors have like all these perks, one of which is they have like a party deck at the Bengals stadium. And so they invited me to come to the party deck to go drink some beers at halftime. And so it was all the way on the other side of the stadium. And I'm like, oh, we should do this. It's, you know, we'll get some beers, get some food. So I switched seats, and that was right when it all started going downhill from there.
Wow.
And I never went back to the old seats. And, you know, next thing you know, just what took place, and I had to go home thinking, why would I have done that? You know, I should have just sat in my seats, continued to pay for my own beers, and everything would have been fine.
I don't know. I mean, of all people to ruin what would have been one of the biggest wins in the recent history of this franchise, I didn't think it would be you. I didn't think it would be
you. It was me. I mean, you can see from me. I'd look on Twitter. I was at a different angle. My buddy from Chicago invited me to come watch with him. Longtime Bengals fan. Him and I have been rooting together forever. Never actually been to a game together, though. And so we were all excited. We were holding the Laser Cats. And then we changed seats, and we should have never done it. So it was.
No.
I blame myself. Everybody can point fingers at how to do it on the field, but let's point to what really happened here. And I changed seats, and I should have never done it. And
like how you look yourself in the mirror. Starts with you. You know, you got to look at what you can do better. And next time, you know, not to switch seats. Besides that, obviously, the outcome not what you wanted. You don't have to give away just vats and vats of free beer on Thursday night, so I guess there's a small consolation, that's it. But I know you would have been happy to open the taps up for that win.
We had it all lined up. I was so excited. I was taunting it. I was envisioning Paul back behind Doc behind the bar, pouring beers flowing. We had a whole charity element that we were going to tie in there, and it was going to be like the happiest day. Like we'd overcome the Steelers. So, you know, obviously from a financial standpoint, you know, myself along with the rest of the company are a little bit happy that we're not just giving all of our product away. But I will tell you from just the pure joy of being a Bengals fan, it would have been fun to see everybody down here doing that.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll try it again in the future for another game. but yeah, it was rough. It was sad. So
what's your optimistic take? Let's find some optimistic takes. So let's get people on the right track.
You know, we're not eliminated. We don't have 9 losses yet. You know, as far as I know, we still are mathematically in it. I would say we probably need to win the last 3 games to make this happen.
That's fair.
That was optimism.
Yeah.
You're
probably gonna need to win some games.
This is a little bit sick, but the emotional roller coaster that takes place inside of that stadium is just unlike anything else in life. Watching this, people just go from complete and utter joy to just absolute, like one of the lowest moments of their life. Watching this take place around me, I do kind of get a kick out of it. I've been there. I think as a fan, I like to think of myself as a mature fan, and I've learned that when the Bengals lose, you can't let that ruin your whole week. You got to focus on some positives and go from there. So I do, you know, there was a guy walking out of the stadium that I was concerned about. I hope he made it home to his family and was able to go to work the next day. He was very sad walking out of that game. So I was able to kind of see an old version of myself, and it was good. I kind of looked at it and said, you know what, I've grown up a lot as a fan over the years. I can take these losses. We've been through it before. And you know, and I just think about it as it just makes it that much sweeter that day we win the Super Bowl, when you can look back and be like, man, remember those bad moments, but this is all worth it. We won the Super Bowl, and I stuck with this team. So
this is why you're here. This is why you're here, Bobby, because even in this week of weeks, you mentioned the Super Bowl in your spot. Like, you're still thinking about it. You're still like, you know what, but just think about how great that Super Bowl's going to be. I'm in awe of you. This is an impressive performance by you. I mean, is it any fun? Like, think about it. If you grew up as, like, a Pats fan that just, like, wins the Super Bowl all the time, you probably don't even care. Like, you care. Yeah. You're excited. But, like, it's more fun to be dragged through, like, the worst of the worst and then come out on top. So I've been thinking, I'm 35 years old. I've been a Bengals fan probably since I was five. So 30 years of this, the lost decade, I think, was really my badge of honor. But these Pittsburgh losses are really just adding to, you know, something else I can chalk up to celebrate when they do win it all someday.
Yeah.
Which still could be this year, which technically we're not.
Technically, they're not mathematically eliminated. Also, the Browns weren't mathematically eliminated until like 2 weeks ago. So, you know,
that math is
kind of weird that way.
That was goofy. That Browns math was like beyond goofy. We still have like a shot. It would involve like a lot of Ravens losses.
It's on the same level of that Browns math right now. I don't say that much.
No way. I would like to argue. I'm going to go look this up and see what.
It's less than 1%.
Sure,
it's less than 1%.
It's less than 1?
Yes.
All right. Tell me there's a chance.
All right. What's your question? Do you have a question?
Oh yeah. This is I like this. This is when we really can lean on you guys, insiders. Is the hatred real? Is it like, okay? So you saw like the UC Xavier hatred for one another. I mean, everybody feels that. Is the Pittsburgh Cincinnati hatred? Is it on the same level
between the players?
Between the players and the teams, is it the same? And even break it down. I mean, you can get into like, well, you know, these guys really we feel like hate each other, but these guys, you know, they're just playing NFL football, collecting their checks.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. We can get to that. What all's going on at 50? Any Christmas fun going on out there? What are you guys doing for the season?
We just decorated our Volkswagen are decorated. We got I'm staring at a Christmas keg tree out the back of our VW truck at Pro Works, and we got a Christmas tree on top of the Volkswagen van. So we're very Christmas oriented. We're packed for holiday parties right now.
Is Christmas cookie out?
Christmas cookie just came out. It literally just okay. So Christmas cookie just literally came out of the fermenters. It'll be coming out on Monday. So on Monday you'll be able to get Christmas cookie.
Beautiful. My wife really loves Christmas cookie and was kind of sad that she couldn't get it when we were down there. But we'll be back come get Christmas cookie. So Monday Christmas cookie. All right. Well, we'll be back
Monday.
Maybe even Monday.
We'll be available. And yeah, you're just rolling New Year's Eve party coming up. Tickets go on sale for that, I think, tomorrow on our website. So we do our typical New Year's party. It's a nice little dinner that you can come to and enjoy great 50 West food and great 50 West beer. So
I love it.
That's it, Paul. We're rolling.
Sounds good. I appreciate your time again. A truly impressive performance. I didn't think we'd get a Super Bowl mention in here, but I'm thrilled that we did. So I always love it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hootay, Paul. Hootay.
That may have been Bobby's shining moment. Like, I mean, to come off that game and as low as fans are,
right,
and to still be like, look, I still think about the Super Bowl a lot. You know, like,
right.
I love it. I love it. So his question to us, is the hatred real for the players, between Bengals and Steelers? Do you think, is the hatred real?
I mean, you're talking about 106 guys.
Yeah.
So I don't doubt that there are legitimately hard feelings in Pittsburgh to Vontaze Burfict, Vontaze Burfict to guys in Pittsburgh. But I would say the majority, it's just a game. I mean, we mentioned George Iloka, Mike Mitchell work out together. James Conner, Tyler Boyd were teammates. Antonio Brown went to Dre Kirkpatrick's camp.
Mike Mitchell came to Carlos's bully-free zone thing.
Yeah, I mean, we're beyond that day and age. I think back in the day, the Crum Rye days, there probably really was. There wasn't free agency. There, you know, guys, if they shared agents, you know, they still went and worked in the offseason and didn't hang out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm sure there's some. I think the Steelers know. We wrote about this or talked about before Steelers week, just talking trash. Like, they know that it works. They know. Look, Mike Tomlin, talking trash. They like headlines. They like to talk, and they like to say these things.
They like to be confident and brash.
Brash, and because what, they win, they deserve to
be. It helps them win.
It helps them win.
I think
win.
Being confident and brash helps them win. Yeah. It's part of what Steelers are about.
So, yeah. You know, I don't think it's real. I think it's just, it's a little wrestling. It's entertainment.
I think it's frustrating for the Bengals.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I think their hate might not be the word I would use, but annoying.
Right.
They find the Steelers annoying, and the fact that they can't beat them, annoying.
Right.
And what they do is it pisses them off.
Yeah.
And there's residuals from the 15 game. That brought out a lot of hate.
Yeah.
But a lot of that hate was also directed at John Perry and Buddy Horton.
Joey Porter and Mike Munchak.
Yeah, a lot of that. But as far as the players, I think even on the harshest of rivals, there is a respect and a fraternity of the PA, of the players.
Right.
You know what I mean? As far as we're all players here,
yeah.
They probably are more like, you know, they probably have more rivalries with ownerships
right.
than they do with each other. They're all sort of on the same team in a lot of ways, even though they're not. So that's our answer to that question. Hey, again, a PSA, the Bengals are playing the Chicago Bears this weekend.
Yes.
And we haven't talked about that yet because no one does. No one cares. And the Bears don't care.
Yeah.
But we have to predict because that's what we do on this. So we have to predict what's going to happen. Let's sum it up real quick.
Yeah, I mean, the Geno, I kind of wrote this before Geno got hurt, but I'll stick with it. I think 23-10 Bengals, totally uninspiring game, I think. But the Bears are just, they're not a good team. They've quit, basically. John Fox is on his way out. And, you know, they don't have any talent. Like, some of the talent's hurt. Jordan Howard is their best offensive player right now, and he's dealing with a shoulder.
I go through their starters just to double-check all our starters for the game day section every week. I don't know who these guys are. And partially, it's in a weird NFC. The Bengals, like, never play them. We don't see a lot of Bears games. Still, I know the league pretty well. They have some obscure players in there right now. Like, people you just don't know.
Some of their better linemen are hurt. Kyle Long went on IR. Yeah. So, I just, you know. Nuge, I think, kicks a field goal and an extra point for the Bears.
Nuge!
You know, I think the Bengals get a couple turnovers, score a touchdown. I mean, 23-10, they're not really a juggernaut offense, so.
There's two things that are intriguing here. One, do the Bengals quit?
Yeah.
I don't think they will. Do they quit? B, I want Nuge to have a big kick in Paul Brown Stadium of some sort. So that's it. That's the intrigue for me.
Yeah.
I just there's, the Nuge storyline is great.
Yeah.
I just want to see some relevancy from him.
Yeah.
In some spot. That's it. Outside of that, I don't care.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's only because it's pretty irrelevant.
Yeah.
I mean, if they lose, that would mean they quit.
Right.
I can't see them losing playing hard.
No.
If they play hard, they should win by a bunch.
Right.
So, and then they'll have this game against Zim and a second chance to have it officially.
And the guys will get up for that.
Sure. Well, they'll still be hanging on to a sliver of
hope. Because the Steelers should beat the Ravens.
Yeah, they need that. I mean, now that's like a necessity.
Right.
You need the Steelers to win that game to keep any sort of hope alive here. So, all right. Well, that's that. Let's get out of here. We've got the hot seat with AJ McCarron and Doc from BTS. A reminder, Tuesday, Beyond the Stripes, Holy Grail Banks, 7 o'clock. Corey Dillon is going to be our guest. He's in town as a Bengals legend, so he's going to be down at the Holy Grail Banks. It's going to be a great time. I expect a huge crowd to come early and be ready to be regaled with stories because he's not afraid to tell them now. Maybe we'll have him flip burgers.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I like
that.
That'd
be hilarious.
That would be really fun if he just flipped burgers and didn't reference the fact that he's flipping burgers.
Right.
Think about that. All right, here's the hot seat with Doc and AJ McCarron, and we will talk to you next week. Keep a lock on Cincinnati.com for all your coverage of this weekend. So talk to you later.